member does not take a day off. And therefore I, Martin Zender, do not take a day off. The universe doesn't take a holiday, and no holiday here. Welcome to the December 25th, 2015 edition of the Revelation series. I can't even remember when this thing started. It's been over a year. It was a year ago, and then 3 months, I think October of 2014, September, October. Anyway, I said I was going to do it, and I'm doing it, and I am enjoying it. I am. How can I enjoy the unveiling of Jesus Christ? Because I know the God that I serve. I know Him. He has made Himself apparent to me, and He has done the same to you. And we know that even though He does hard things, don't deny it, folks, He does hard things, but He is going to be justified for all of these things when we see the outcome. Big conversations about evil last weekend in Indianapolis, and the thing was, I always point people to the crucifixion of the Son of God, and have not had anybody yet disagree with me that that was the worst evil on the face of the planet. And yet, we already see God is justified in that. Well, not everybody sees that because they think 90% of the world's going to be tormented in hell forever. But my point is that if God can bring the greatest good out of the greatest evil, I mean, this is the litmus test. This is the tipping point. It goes like you're killing the Son of God, and it's the worst evil, and yet from this comes the salvation, the reconciliation even of the universe. Greatest evil, greatest good. So if we can do that with the greatest evil, what is the leap of logic to say that lesser evils will also result in justification? Just because we can't see it or understand it now, we have to trust that He's already justified the most terrible evil. And so He will easily justify lesser evils. And yes, everything else is a lesser evil. I don't care what you run past me. Okay, Kelly was listening to the show yesterday. She was working on it, getting it ready for emailing. And she said, you told them and I have the Book of Miracles. And she was concerned that you would think that when I mentioned Kelly, my sister, in possession of the evil book, the Book of Miracles. No, A Course in Miracles. Right, thank you. That's the name of it. Speaking of evil, huh? That's right up there with the crucifixion of Christ. This book is insane. Claims that we are our own Christ. There is no God outside. We don't need salvation. We don't need any outside help or assistance. We are complete in ourselves. We are Christ. We are God. This is New Age crap packaged in a pleasant little pill, I guess, for the masses. Although I don't know what's pleasant about it. But anyway, Kelly was given this book 6 years ago, never looked at it. But now one of her friends has mentioned this book, and Kelly's trying to save her from perdition. And so she says, oh, wait, I think I have a copy of this. So she's looking through it, and her brain is exploding of how wrong this book is. And so now she's using the book against itself, you see. So no worries out there. My sister Kelly and I here in Canton, Ohio, are unified against the powers of evil. And we, together with our friend Travis Penner, who puts together these shows, I'd like to give a howdy hi to him and another great big thank you, Travis Penner, Vancouver, British Columbia. He puts the music on the audio, he puts the theme song and the titles on this video, and he does it every day. It's a thankless job, except for me. I thank him all the time. So, and Kelly too. Between these two, they keep me honest. So today's the last day that, and how appropriate, it's a Friday, that I'm going to prove to you that the Book of the Unveiling, from now till, I say, chapter 21, is dealing with the religious deliverance of the earth. It's spiritual rather than political. Not that, can political be spiritual? Yes. I kind of wish I hadn't said it that way. Let me put it this way. it's not politics that's bad. I know we're coming into an election cycle here in the United States of America. Politics isn't bad. It's bad politics. That's what's bad. So, because Jesus Christ is going to have a political reign in Jerusalem. And as you know, I despise the teaching that says that the thousand-year kingdom is a metaphor for some happy little indwelling of people living the Jesus life at Boy Scout camp or some such nonsense. So we are in the religious section of the book. We know the earth needs to be delivered both politically and religiously. Religion and politics, again and again. It's really unfortunate that Revelation 11, the chapter break there, because this whole temple section starts at 11:19, and that's a shame because that's the last verse of chapter 11. Would that it had started in chapter 12. Nice, neat chapter heading, but as we know, chapter headings are not inspired. Now, you wonder why the 144,000 are celibates. We discussed this last year, I'm sure. It's because of the prevailing religious prostitution. I remind you that in Israel, prostitution had very much to do with cult prostitution. That is, people being drawn to the worship of a false deity via sexual intercourse with a beautiful woman. At least, I'm assuming she was beautiful. I think they found the best-looking women for this terrible apostasy. Not joking about it at all. And in the unveiling here, chapter 11, especially from 11 through 21, speaking specifically now of chapter 14, verse 7, humans are called to worship their maker. Worship. You will find worship from here on out. Before it was rule, now it's worship. Rule and worship. And the fact that the 144,000 are celibates, that is, if you're not sure what that means, they have not had sex. And so they are focused, let's put it that way, on God. Because prostitution, cult prostitution, has always been a sign, a symbol, a sin in Israel. And again, it depicts them departing God for other gods. And it's the worship of the wild beast which draws down the judgments of this section. Again, that is chapter 14. But this time, verses 9 through 12, worship of the wild beast. Again, you're going to see worship, worship, and more worship throughout this section. Now, the figure of the bulls, this is interesting because of some of the worst trials now are coming up in the latter half of this unveiling, and it has to do with bulls. And I'm going to contrast that now with the previous section and the seals and the trumpets. This is really cool because the seals and the trumpets, as you recall, were associated with the administration of government both in peace and in war. The seals were civil power, a decision, a seal, a decision of the government to enact something. Now, the trumpets were a result of acting out the seal, and we think of trumpets, as especially in Scripture, in time of war. So the trumpets are illustrative of the military arm of the government. In other words, the government is now acting out by force the decree that the seals have determined ahead of time in a court of law. That's what's happening here. Now, that's in the previous section when we were speaking of rule and politics. We have seals and trumpets for peacetime and war. Now, however, we are going to see bowls poured out, and bowls were used in the worship service of the temple. And it was the bowls of the temple that evil man Nebuchadnezzar dragged out of the temple and took to Babylon. Shame on him. No, probably he didn't personally go to Babylon, but he sent his troops and his elephants and his camels and his donkeys to Jerusalem. He stayed in Babylon. He sent his minions to Jerusalem to sack it, bring back the wisest, smartest, the strongest people, and those drinking vessels, the gold and silver of the temple. Shame on him. Shame on him. And so God is coming after the false worship of the end times. Now, Satan is going to be bound at the end of this section. Glad for that. We know that Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the god of this eon. I'm sorry if this ruins your holidays. Yeah, Satan's the god of this eon. But there is a god over him. Yes, he's a small g god. We have a capital G god. So no problem there. As I've always told you, if Satan is this close to your face, watch the studio cam. Here, I'll do it. Profile. Then if Satan's this far away, God is this far away. He's always closer to you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So during the millennium, it will be a day of what? Unhindered what? Unhindered what? Anybody? Yes, it's the key to this whole section, unhindered worship. Why? Because Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years. And now he demands worship. How? Ah, the secret of lawlessness, my friends. He demands worship through a facade of righteousness, i.e. church. Let's all go to church on Christmas Day. My question is, why? I would much rather you watch a Charlie Brown Christmas. You will hear the gospel there as Linus recites a passage from Luke, or The Grinch That Stole Christmas, one of my favorite shows, because the Grinch, like a good Israelite, is born again, and he sleds down Mount Crumpet with his dog Max to bring, I should say, return Christmas cheer to the Whos down in Whoville, from whom he robbed it. All right, Binding of Satan, fantastic. Now, there are two, look at my time, I cannot believe it. There are two sections in this part of the unveiling, the temple section where the temple is said to be open, and it has to do with the covenant and the law. You think I'm kidding you? No, I would not joke about this. Verse 19 of Revelation 11, and opened was the temple of God in heaven, and seen was the ark of God's covenant in his temple. God's covenant, that is, I'm hurrying, sorry, I'm talking fast because my time's running away. Because God's covenant is his promise with his people, Israel, and he never forgets his promises. So the first time we see the temple opened up, the temple of God opened up in heaven, we are reminded of the covenant of God, and that he's not going to put up anymore with usurpers, with people, Satan, let's say, using people to usurp worship that belongs to God. Now, again, in the unveiling 15:5, the temple is open again. And after these things I perceived, and open was the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heavens. Though the second time we see the temple open, and it has to do with the tabernacle of the testimony. That is, it has to do with the law, the testimony. So we have the covenant and the testimony in this section, both having to do with an opening of the temple. And again, God's going to defend his covenant. He's going to oust all the false religions of this eon. He is going to defend his law. He is going to finally bring vengeance against lawbreakers. Doesn't mean these lawbreakers aren't eventually going to be saved. Of course they are. You know better than that. But Israel, the ungrateful, unfaithful Israelites have also broken his law, and God is going to bring judgment against them. In fact, the fact that they had the law greatly increases the measure of their guilt, because whoever to whom much is given, much is expected, and hence the bowls. The bowls in the unveiling are the most severe of the trials, terrible visitations of the judgment area, and then we will see an extended account of the judgment of Babylon, which shows you just how much God hates the apostasy of his own people, because this is the apostasy of Israelites. Good stuff coming up. We're going to start next week with chapter 12, and we're going to talk about the sun-clothed woman. The sun-clothed woman, it's a sign in heaven, and her son. After that, we're going to wring the details out of that like a chamois cloth. After that, Michael and the dragon, then the two wild beasts. Stay tuned to this station, to this channel, because there's a lot more where this came from.